Hi, I'm Andy from Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. I'm here with Alex Hudson.
Hello.
And today we're bringing you a special kind of side cast, yeah?
Yes, the best cast.
You may have remembered a couple of weeks ago, myself, Mark and Fowler discussed what makes Star Wars special. We had quite a lengthy discussion about what makes it such a special franchise, why do people enjoy this film, or on the flip side, why don't people enjoy it? Why have people never got really into Star Wars?
Why is it terrible? In short, why is it a film?
And as a way of kind of celebrating the fact that this what is now pretty much going to be the biggest film ever.
Correct, yeah. It's only a matter of time, Avatar. It's coming for you.
Take that, James Cameron. Take that to the bank.
Well, he's got number one and two. He's had it too good for too long. It's time that JJ gets a slice of that sweet, sweet pie.
But to celebrate that, film coming out, what we did is we reached out to a couple of people. Some of them are friends. Some of them people who are
me.
YouTubers. Or
some of them who are me. YouTubers.
Some of them YouTube podcasters.
Celebrities, if you will. Celebrity fans or not fans of the podcast. No, not the podcast. They're all fans of the podcast.
They're all friends of the podcast.
Friends of the show.
And we just asked them that exact question. Why is Star Wars so special? And what we did is we got some responses back and we thought, as a bit of a treat, basically because it's going to be an absolute nightmare for me to edit the next episode of the films of 2015, we thought we'd throw this out as a bit of a special treat for you, especially following on from our review of Star Wars The Force Awakens last week. If you've not heard it, go back and listen. We loved that film.
It's full of praise for certain things and never dips below just total love for the film. I mean, it may seem that everyone hates it, apart from Fowler, but then ends up hating it at the end for some reason.
But yeah, so as a special treat, before we'd put this out today, and then later in the week, we'll put out the actual episode for our review of the films of 2015.
Yeah. So you're going to hear some clips now, which basically offer these responses to the original trilogy and the impact they've had on the person giving that, or the persons giving that review of them. We've got donations from...
some Alex Hudson guy.
Thank you.
You might know him from our DM sidecast.
You might know me from black and white films.
We've also got Scott from the NerdSync podcast and YouTube channel. Check those out. Like I said, they've got their own podcast, but they've also got a YouTube channel. We've got the Storybreakers guys. We've helped them out previously, and they were kind enough to actually return the favour. So
our cousins across the Irish Sea.
So check their stuff out. They've been doing some great stuff. They're doing live readings of the original George Miller's Justice League.
Oh, they are the only podcast that have ever tweeted at us that I've listened to. Fun fact.
Thank you.
I thought I owed it to them after I had a conversation with them on Twitter once.
Beautiful. It's nice to see you making friends.
Storybreakers, if I'm in Ireland, can I stay with you?
So we've also got a friend of the show, Matt McGowan, offers his thoughts. He doesn't have his own podcast or anything, so...
Matt McGowan that I know?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind.
And finally, we've got Alicia Malone, who you can find all over YouTube, and she's got many podcasts as well. So basically just type her name in and follow what she does. These people are all going to offer up what they think. You'll hear the clips now.
Hello, Alex Hudson here from the Dinosaur Man sidecast. Now, Andy from the main Nerdcast got in touch with me recently and said that he was going to attempt to watch all three of the original Star Wars trilogy in advance of going to see The Force Awakens this Christmas time. Now, he's never seen them. He contacted me saying he wanted people to feed him their opinions and why it was such a important franchise and why it was sort of, why it has such an affectionate fan base. Now, I'm speaking as someone who, as a 7-year-old, loved Star Wars, everything to do with it. You couldn't, you know, it was everything. And that happened, you know, that remained for a few years where I still really liked the films. And then, obviously, the prequels came out in 99, or started coming out in 99, and they were not great. I think we can all recognise that. But the affection still remained for the initial three films, which is seemingly the case with pretty much every fan of Star Wars, you know. Now, I went back and rewatched the original trilogy fairly recently, just as a, because I've not done that, because I'd not sat down and actually watched them all sort of within the course of a few days or so. So I decided, you know, I'll watch these. And that 7-year-old doesn't exist anymore. That's what I could take away from this, is that the 7-year-old that I used to be, who loved those, loved that series of films, doesn't exist. Yeah, I can't find what I liked about those films. I think I can acknowledge what I think I liked about them when I was a kid. It was the sort of grandness of the adventure. It was the fact that you had all these weird and wonderful characters coming in, and the action sequences were, you know, it was all lasers and lightsabers were probably the coolest thing you could imagine. Now, having gone back and rewatched it now, I don't think they're particularly good films. I think they leave a lot to be desired. I think the performances are not great on the whole. I'd say they're passable, but no one stands out as being a fantastic addition to the cast. The best line in the franchise is the "I love you, I know," which, if the stories are to be believed, is a completely improvised line by Harrison Ford. Aside from the performances, the script isn't particularly good. The plot itself seems far too... Is it too overblown and they're trying to sort of ground it too much? Or is it that they don't really achieve the sense of scale that you think they wanted to? They're sort of trying to tell too many different storylines and not really doing all of them justice. The issue I've got with it is that if it's wanting to be a big space adventure, a big opera in space, then it can do that. And actually, a film that does that better than Star Wars is Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy does that space opera thing far better than Star Wars does. And actually, as a result, it's a better space film. It's a better science fiction film than Star Wars is. Or even The Empire Strikes Back. Because the characters in it, you feel more of an attachment to. You don't... If you go back and watch the original Star Wars now, I just don't feel that you get attached to the characters in the same way that you do, say, to Star-Lord or to Rocket Raccoon, even. In Guardians of the Galaxy, you don't get the attachment that you want that enables you to care about those characters and actually what happens to them and their story throughout the process. You don't get that. The writing is much better in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's cinematically is a far superior film to any of the original three Star Wars films. Everything about Guardians of the Galaxy seems to click in a way that the problems with A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, they've got those same problems that the Guardians manages to avoid. So is it a case that nostalgia plays a huge part in this? Nostalgia makes you go into the films expecting something much, or remembering them as films that they aren't necessarily. I'll go and see The Force Awakens because I feel like, you know, it's going to be the biggest film of the year without doubt. And it would be unfair on the other films that I've seen not to see that and judge, you know. When it gets around, we do this annual review of films. When it gets around to that time, I don't want to be sitting there as the only person who hasn't seen the biggest film of the year. Especially knowing that the other three have definitely seen it. Now, I think the issue remains that your primary fan base, when you're making these films now, your primary fan base are actually middle-aged men. You know, not to put a gender bias on it, but I think, you know, men are more likely to have enjoyed the original Star Wars trilogy. You've got kids who are interested in it because there's space things in it, and that's always quite an engaging thing. It's a similar setup to the Jurassic World thing, where Jurassic World's got this ready-made audience where you've got people who saw the original trilogy, or saw the original films, and then you've got the kids of those people, and kids who like the dinosaurs anyway because it's dinosaurs and that's quite a cool thing. Star Wars has got that ready-made audience that, that Jurassic World also had. So people are going to be going into this going, well, it's another Star Wars film, this is great. But actually, is it? I'm not going to be able to go in with rose-tinted glasses because I've rewatched them and realised that actually they're okay films, but they're nothing special. But I appreciate that there are 7-year-olds out there who love it. And that there are 50-year-olds out there who love it. I just can't now separate the idea that, you know, the inner child in me wants to like these films and wants to remember them fondly, from the idea that actually they're not particularly well made. They're not the films that I once remembered them to be, which is quite a sad thing. But maybe that says something about going back and watching things like this. Maybe I shouldn't have gone back. Maybe I should have just left them in my memory and gone, well, they're always good films. Maybe I shouldn't have ever watched them again. And actually, I think I won't go back to watch them from this point onwards, at least, because I'll end up nitpicking again and finding more and more things that I don't like about them. So I think the moral of this is, if you're 7, go and see The Force Awakens. If you're 25, go and see The Force Awakens as well. But, you know, just go in with an open mind and, you know, as I will be. And if they're good, I will be pleasantly surprised. And if they're bad, I'll be unpleasantly surprised. I'm trying to go in middle of the road and say, it could be good, could be bad, I don't know. I'm willing to give it a fair shot. Anyway, this may have been sort of a downer in comparison to some of the other soundbites that Andy's pulled in. But I think it's true to who I am and my experience of the films, which I appreciate may not be for everyone. Which may not be, you know, I've got plenty of friends who see them as untouchable masterpieces. It just so happens that even if they were, Return of the Jedi very much isn't. Anyway, I've been Alex Hudson. This has been my contribution to the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. And I sincerely hope that Andy enjoys the original trilogy and manages to find joy where I haven't. Dinosaur Man.
I think the reason why Star Wars is interesting to me is because at its core, it's a simple story. I would say it's the most basic story you could tell. It's light versus dark. And the structure of the story fits almost perfectly with the hero's journey. So it's not anything that's revolutionary, but instead it embraced these storytelling principles wholeheartedly and unapologetically. And that makes Star Wars really simple and relatable and easy for anyone to jump on board and completely understand what's going on, not be lost at all. But even though the story is simple, the characters and the universe and the relationships between everything is anything but. It's complex, it's vast, it's expansive, and it's the combination of, you know, this amazing, full, rich world combined with a story that is incredibly easy to grasp that I think makes Star Wars very impactful and kind of magical a little bit. Dinosaur Man.
Hey guys, Chris and Stevie here from Storybreakers.
How are you doing? So we got an email from the guys asking what made Star Wars special to us.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Stevie? Do you have, like, that special bond with Star Wars?
You know, in my head, I do, but when I watch the movies, I don't.
Okay.
It's quite weird. It's like, I think that my relationship with Star Wars is based around everything other than the movies.
Okay.
So whether it's, like, the new trailers get me excited for Star Wars, can't wait for it.
Right.
Same with the Phantom Menace trailer. Loved it, you know, I was like, okay, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Disappointed with the movie, you know the way?
Gotcha.
But, like, fondest memories is, like, the toys. Uh-huh. As well, like playing with the lightsabers and like having the Millennium Falcon and all that. So for that reason, I think that it means a lot to me.
So for you, it's like the universe that was created and your your chance to jump in. The fans' kind of ownership over the material. Like, this is the thing that spawned the toy line. But maybe that's what the beauty of it was, because then you could create your own stories and you get exactly. in, you get in entertained yeah. by other people's versions of it.
That's it.
Like, for me, I have to say, like, I was never a big Star Wars fan. Growing up, it was all about superheroes. That's why this moment of DC and Marvel films right now is just fantastic. This is what I grew up on. And Ninja Turtles were so big for me. I used to play with G.I. Joes as a kid. That I felt like that probably was enough. Like, that entertained my mind so much that Star Wars was a film that I'd watch when I was a kid. When somebody else would stick on, I enjoyed it. But when I grew up, I would watch it again and go, I don't know. It was, in my head, it seemed so much different than this, you
yeah,
know?
It seemed perfect. Yeah. I think it's, and like, because so many people love it, you would assume that it is absolutely perfect. But when you do watch it and you review it as a movie,
yeah,
it's so, they're all so flawed, and there's so many kind of mistakes, if you want, to them. But I suppose that's kind of endearing,
I think,
though, as well, isn't it?
In most people's minds, not just ours, what you have is Star Wars. Even in the title, it's this big universe, this struggle from, like, the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
But when you watch, like, say, Empire Strikes Back, a lot of it, like, for 40 minutes, they're on one ice planet, and you have Han Solo shoving Luke into a dead animal to keep warm, and, like, you're going, I just didn't remember this being this long. Like, this is so much of the film. And I just watched Return of the Jedi recently, and it's the same thing with saving Han Solo. Like, first Princess Leia shows up, gets kidnapped, then Luke shows up, and you're, like, 40 minutes in going, we're still doing this. By the time you go back to the Empire and Darth Vader, you're like, yes, that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what's in my mind. It's these other planets and these little, we have to save this person from inside this beast. You know, you're like, I think that could have been tightened up. So I started looking at it more with a critical eye than I would have as a child. But that being said, I absolutely love the universe. For instance, we're actually putting on the Star Wars live reading, the first draft that George Lucas ever wrote. We're putting on a live reading of that right before the new film comes out.
What date? The 11th, isn't it?
It's the 13th.
Oh, 13th of December.
Yeah. So it's really fun because it's just, again, what you said, it's more enjoyable to allow the fans to tell the stories and to bring them in. So we're doing our own version of it. And I think that's where my enjoyment comes from, and yours as well. Like,
yeah,
you'd play with the toys.
That's it. Like, and you think about, like, there's so much media involved. There's, like, so much, like, there's comics, there's cartoons. Like, the Clone Wars is on Netflix. Like, that's
right.
That's brilliant. I really enjoyed watching that, and it's like, I wish the movies were as good as this, you know, the kind of way, in that sense. And there's a thing on YouTube, Blade Media.
Uh-huh.
The guy there, he goes into his version of episodes 1 and 2, and basically we're waiting for episode 3 to come out now.
Yeah.
He tells the way he would have done the story, and it's like, basically, instead of following Anakin,
such a story breaker's model.
It is. This is amazing. This is probably why we like it. But it's he, instead of following Anakin, he follows Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first movie.
That should be your true protagonist.
And it makes so much sense, you know. The whole arc of the trilogy is all about Obi-Wan, and I find his episode 1 and 2 is just amazing.
Yeah, we're waiting on the third one for him, though, right?
Exactly. Yeah. He said it was going to come soon. Yeah. Not to me personally, but just to the YouTube viewers. But yeah, Blade Media, check that out. That's great.
Thank you, guys. Dino Man Nerdcast. And for all your listeners, if you guys want to check out our podcast, we're Story Breakers, where every single week we come up with a brand new film idea off the top of our heads, and we give it away for free.
But you have to pitch it. This is the best Star Wars. What about this?
It's all right.
So, why is Star Wars important to me? Or maybe the bigger question of why Star Wars so culturally important? A two-part question, I guess. I'll try and answer it with two good answers. For me, I grew up with Star Wars, born in the late 70s. You know, I think I have vague memories of seeing Return of the Jedi in the cinema at some point in the 80s, catching it on VHS when my uncles lent me copies growing up. Toys were there every Christmas, the books to be read, comics to be collected, and it was the thing, you know, you play acted out at school, in the playground and so forth. And it's still been there as I've grown up. Even before the new trilogy came along, there were still things happening in terms of comics animated series that they existed briefly, and even video games, probably an importance given some of the ways I spend my evenings. There are existing ways to be in that universe, and that could be more than it was. The cast of characters was huge in terms of scope at times, but all hinting at something classical in terms of them being knights, wizards, monsters, villains and heroes, gunslingers, pirates, all sort of covered in some way, shape or form, something to be enjoyed, something to relate to, something to take from that. So, yes, I think very classical, wrapped up in a sci-fi with a dash of fantasy wrapper, an interesting take on it all. But then I think culturally, beyond just what I might enjoy, be it certain specific characters or action set pieces, then its impact on sort of society, culture, I think on one level comes down to a very strong sense of design. The silhouette of an X-Wing or a TIE fighter is almost instantaneously recognisable. Just saying the idea of a lightsaber conjures up an image in people's minds, hearing Darth Vader's ventilator rasping away. The huge, grand music from those movies, the start to any movie with a crawl of text, or just the Imperial March booming, sort of an entrance of a villain. These things work. Somehow it's got hardwired at the back of our mind. To work in the same way that a classic fable, a piece of, you know, old time music might still hint at something grand than it is. And then it's a generational thing. Aspects of it, you know, I enjoy passing on to my nephews in the way they love it, and then in turn how they love it back reminds me of how I enjoyed it. So it's kind of nice and cycler there. I've enjoyed how comics, books, animated shows and video games have taken the universe, made it grander, how the world of Star Wars has so many characters to steal from that could be bigger than they are. It always felt bigger than it actually is. I do enjoy all six movies. The classics are the classics and they'll always be as they are, but there's still something to take that's been explored with that new prequel trilogy, and all of them have moments that get me excited, remind me in some way of being a kid, shall we say. A sense of joy, wonder, something magical about them. And that's what I'm getting from the new trailers I've been seeing for Force Awakens, that sort of spark of energy and excitement that makes me want to see it in the cinema, see it on the big screen. And I think that's what's relating, you know, people sort of, it's grown so huge, it's become such sort of an institutional thing that this is a moment, here comes a new Star Wars film. Regardless of what you might think of all six leading up to this, their impact in society and culture is insane. You know, what you can sort of take with the visuals of this movie and just slap on anything works, how people just can connect with it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to sort of capturing what I've loved in the past, what will be a seventh time, you could say.
Hey guys, it's Alicia Malone. If you follow anything I do, then you probably know two things. One, I am a huge film geek. I see every film that comes out. I do nothing but watch movies and talk about movies. Pretty lucky that it's both my job and my hobby. But two, you might also know that I'm not a Star Wars fan. Not to say I hate Star Wars, just that I never got into it. It wasn't around when I grew up. It was never a thing amongst my friends. I saw Spaceballs before I saw Star Wars. And then when I eventually saw Star Wars, I understood all the jokes and the references. But, you know, I've always felt on the outside of this craze. And even as I watched The Force Awakens, which I thought was good, I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was anything inventive, but it was a very safe movie. I understand exactly why they did that, to reestablish the franchise and get rid of the stink from the prequels. I know some people like the prequels, but there's many that don't. I think they did a great job with that. There were some fun action set pieces. I liked Rey. I thought she was a really cool character. Daisy Ridley was great. But there were some emotional moments that weren't emotional, and I think there were some actors that I didn't really like in their roles. Not that they're not good actors, but just that I felt they were miscast. Adam Driver. But I love people like Oscar Isaac. I wish he was in the film more. But anyway, even as I watched the movie and I went with this craze, I still felt on the outside, and particularly now that it is officially the highest grossing film of all time in America and probably soon the world, I sometimes wonder if there is something wrong with me. I've tried to rewatch the films multiple times. I've read a lot of books on Star Wars as well. I've tried to get into it. I really appreciate what it's done for filmmaking. I love watching Star Wars fans talk about these movies because they revert back to childhood. They have this kind of excitement and this glee in their eyes. And I look at that and I go, oh, I wish I had that. I want that. I look at all the tweets and I'd love to be part of that, you know. Even on my YouTube, I talk a lot on Movies on My Jam, plug, about indie films, and I'm never going to get good views when I'm talking about such niche films. I do a Star Wars review, biggest one that I've had in a long time, but I just can't connect to the series. I did a podcast recently, which you can find on SoundCloud and search for Alicia Malone. It's called Star Wars, The Fandom Awakens. And I was trying to investigate exactly why people love the franchise and exactly why I don't connect to it. And I think it does come down to not being a fan when I was a child. I think people who were longtime fans from when they were young have this kind of connection to it. And that's why they seem to revert back to kids while watching it. But I do take my hats off to Star Wars fans. I love what you guys are doing and watching all the films and seeing them for the first time, Andrew. I think that's such a great thing to do. You've tried it. I would love to know if you connect to it in the same way as some of your friends who watched it when they were kids. I think it's fascinating. Anyway, thank you guys for having me on the podcast. I know it's unpopular to say that I'm not a Star Wars fan, but it's the truth. So that's all I can say. See ya.
So that was our nice little that was our late Christmas present to you all.
Yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan, then I hope you found something in there that you will agree with. If you're not a Star Wars fan, you've probably also found something in there to agree with, because what I think the nice thing about those clips was nobody's really on the same page, and it's quite a divisive series of films.
You take what you want from it.
Yeah.
And some people don't take anything because they'd rather just leave it all.
But, you know, some people will love it, some people will hate it, but the great thing is it's a film, series of films that at least get people talking.
Of course.
And once again, I want to thank everyone who's helped us out in this, obviously to yourself, Alex.
Thank you. I deserve it.
Storybreakers, like I said, check them out on iTunes. Yeah. Check the NerdSync guys out there on iTunes and YouTube. Just type in NerdSync.
Is that SYNC?
That's the one. Are they all one word?
NSYNC.
Like NSYNC.
Are they trying to tap into the popularity of a dead band?
Apparently Justin Timberlake is not
He's not involved. One of their subscribers.
He's not involved, no. One day.
JT, oh man. thanks to Alicia Malone. Oh, I'll do that one again. Alicia I was going to call her
Was you about to say Alicia McNugget?
I was actually going to say McNugget.
Thanks to Alicia Malone as well. She can be found on YouTube and across multiple podcasts.
Is she on Instagram?
Maybe.
Of course she is. She's a modern media sensation.
I don't know.
Just because you're not on Instagram, mate. No. Dinosaur Man do not have an Instagram, but I do. Find it if you want, but I'm not going to tell you what the handle is.
And also thank you to Matt McGowan.
That's everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining us again. Once again, I'll be putting the 20 films of 2015 out. Hopefully this weekend.
Never put a date on it, mate, because never that disappoints people. Exactly. I learned that with Quentin Tarantino November.
Where we got how many episodes?
None, but they're all in the bank for next year. And by when I say all in the bank, I mean I've thought about doing it next year instead.
Thank you for joining us. You can find us on Twitter at DinosaurMan15.
On Facebook at DinosaurManNerdcast. Three different words.
You can find us at Buzzsprout.
What the fuck is Buzzsprout?
Thank you, disembodied voice of Mark Barrett. You can find us on Buzzsprout under Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. Thank you to Johnny Neves, as ever, for the theme song. It's been nice having you here, Alex.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't have a choice. I'm in the room, and you said you were doing this. So, it happened. And it took us 15 minutes to get started.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time, Dinosaur Peeps, that's it from us. Bye!